Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Here's Copeland on the drive, and what a start!
Air Copeland. How about Nebraska basketball? Welcome to Monday at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Playing his air base, Jeremiah Searles, our favorite Minnesota Viking, Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago, who did really, really well, as he puts it, this weekend.
The hot dog guy.
The hot dog guy at the casino. You can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House. Let you do that, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Plenty of room for you today to talk some Nebraska basketball. We'll get into some Husker football thoughts when it comes to, we'll get Searles' take here on the style of offense and the physicality kind of merged and meshed with that. That speed element that Frost wants. But plenty of Nebraska basketball. Jake Muehlheisen, going to be with us in 15 minutes. Four-year starter for Nebraska basketball and four-year captain, 15 minutes away. And a Monday with Charlie, Coach Charlie McBride, will be with us in hour two. Can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com or hit us on Twitter at HaleVarsity at Schmidt underscore radio. Or, Searles, give folks your Twitter handle because you don't have enough followers already.
Searles71_HSKR.
Plenty of Team Jack thoughts from Searles and his buddies that celebrated this weekend for an amazing cause. Tyson's Treasure Chest is an amazing charity that Jeremiah is a part of. He'll tell you about that coming up as well. A chance for you as a fan of giving back to great people. Golf outing with Searles and company coming up this July. You have the numbers to get in. And Searles, let's talk some Nebraska basketball. First and foremost, how you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm great. Still recovering a little bit from the weekend. Long weekend with the Team Jack celebration, but I'm getting there. We had a good workout this morning, got the sweating in, and feeling back to life.
See, and you also kind of manned up and you watched them do an injection today.
I did. I got a little injection in the knee, get everything, the annual oil change going, and sure. You got to get back on track.
Because we're talking before the show, and you're like, it's kind of warm in here, so you're doing the old roll up the pants thing.
I'm a fat kid. I sweat.
And you're like, hey, I'm like, well, I see that, and you're like, yeah, I got a needle today. It's like, Jesus.
I don't usually watch, so like I've had, I mean, if you're in the NFL long enough as an offensive lineman, you're going to have one or two needles put in the knee, and I don't
usually. You ever get one in your toe, like your foot?
I have not. I've got to avoid that. I've got to avoid that. I actually got to watch Coach Cotton get one put in his foot one time, and it was awful. Yeah, he had plantar fasciitis in his foot, and we were getting ready to play Kansas my true freshman year, and he was getting a shot. And I'll never forget, like, we saw it, I turned away, but you could hear him. If you've ever met Coach Cotton, he has a very distinct kind of yell.
I've never heard him yell.
Kind of a distinct yell. And he's like, oh, the pain is so great, oh, the pain. And we're just, I mean, this is minutes before we're running out against Kansas. And we're just dying in the locker room. And, I mean, he came running out, and, like, he was good for the game. But, man, hearing him do that was one of the funnier things I'll ever remember.
The stash. That's pretty good.
The stash in the belly, man.
Coach Cotton here. We'll dive into Nebraska basketball. And you have the eye test discussion today. You have the bracketologists that are digging their heels in about Nebraska still. They're just not on board. Danny Burke has a well-aged tweet with Mr. Lenardi. You got back at him because Lenardi loves him some Penn State. Nebraska smoked Penn State yesterday. And then, Danny, your response was classic, was pretty good, wasn't it? All right. See, the whole point of the bracketologist is to shed some light. Nebraska fans, God love you, have turned it into a private war.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're just against us and you hate us. Well, I don't think that's the case. I think from a air quote quality win standpoint, they have a point. But when you look at what Nebraska does when they perform, Nebraska plays like they did yesterday or against Michigan. Not many teams are taking them out. What you do is you have the math experts right now. They're a little ticked off about hearing how wrong they are from Nebraska fans and other bubble teams.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yes.
What did your tweet say? Well done. Nice. What did you say to Lenardi there, Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago?
So he tweeted, or someone's like, what team has the best chance of making the bubble? Or like, that.
Who can put a run together, right?
And
what bubble team can put a run together?
Yeah, and he said Penn State. And I saw Old Takes Exposed was tagged to it, to a reply for that. So I was like, maybe I'll throw a shot in there, too. And I said, expert analysis, great call.
Ooh, 2018, man, year of the shots. Shots across the bow. Just pow, pow, pow. I love it. I'm all in.
Yeah. James Palmer Jr., first team, Big Ten. That announcement coming out, BTN.
Much deserved.
Yeah, JPJ was phenomenal. Kind of got shut down. I didn't want to say shut down, but got held in check from an efficiency standpoint yesterday. 5 of 12, double digits, of course. That's automatic for Palmer. 6 turnovers. I thought he was trying to do a little too much early in that first half. Copeland was great. Roby played well with food poisoning. It was nice to see Glenn Watson Jr. back, take some good shots that went in. Gill was good from the corner. Just an incredible effort for Nebraska. Penn State was built up as this team that's just rocked Ohio State twice. They coulda, shoulda, woulda beat Purdue on the road. Michigan beat them by 12 in their house. And Michigan, God, they were up 30 on Maryland on the road Saturday. Michigan's playing incredible basketball right now. So I kind of thought, Penn State may be rolling in here. I mean, I don't want to say crawling, but they've been through a gauntlet a bit to close out, and it never, the way you end the gauntlet, you don't choose to go to PBA on Senior Day Sunday.
No.
And Nebraska just did what they wanted to do. Nebraska looked so locked in, and that's my big takeaway before we go to New York City, is just when Nebraska's had to be awesome and look awesome, Penn State yesterday, Michigan earlier this season, mm-hmm. to kind of get the roll started, Nebraska's looked like a top 15 basketball team, at least two instances this year. They play up and they play down to who they're playing. But I think with what's in front of them at New York City now, beat Michigan, get Sparty on a Saturday with the world watching on CBS, get those two, maybe for sure just get one. I think you just get one, you're okay, maybe. Why chance it? The old mafia rule. Why leave any witnesses? just go get two.
You absolutely nailed it, though. They played up, they've played down. But the great thing about the brackets is if you're playing up, it doesn't really matter who's walking in there.
No.
So it's like you said, you go to New York, you get the world watching, and you put all the doubters that are like, maybe Nebraska's just gotten lucky, or maybe Nebraska's not where they should be in, and you go in and you go win one.
The biggest argument, Searles, is who the hell's Nebraska beat? That's every math nerd out there that's got their own bracket and bracketologist side is saying, well, who have you beat?
Well, go beat Michigan State. Go beat Michigan, go beat Michigan State, and then go win the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, go win the whole thing and be like, all right,
Sounds so easy.
We're done with you. Yeah, as I sit here in my cozy chair. Yeah, go win the whole thing, and then no one can say anything. But it's like you said, you win one, you're good. But I'm hoping they win at least two, if not three.
Threes, to be honest with you, bro, the number for me is three.
Okay.
And one of those three happened yesterday. Coach Miles asked about the NCAA tournament, his thoughts on his team, and where they stand right now heading to New York City.
It looks like an NCAA tournament to me. I just, our schedule hasn't broke the way. We had some bad luck with our conference schedule. We're willing and able to play anybody. You just have to understand, like tonight, it's a quad one win for Penn State and a quad three win for us. Okay, sure. Also, that's a sorting mechanism. I don't think quad one is the holy grail of all things. We've done a good job winning away from home. We've outperformed. Really, the predictive metrics are the one killing us. The result metrics aren't too bad. And so that's strength of record, RPI, KPI. They're not too bad. They line up pretty well with the NCAA tournament. So that's what I tell them. Pay attention to results, not the computer predicting how we're going to do.
Isn't that how you're measured in life? Results?
Yeah, that's how everything should be measured in life.
results, and that's what Coach Miles pretty much said. Now, what do you need to do in New York City? He was asked that. Here's his response.
Well, we want to go win a Big Ten tournament. That's the goal, to go cut the nets down. And that's just where it begins and ends. As far as a Big Ten or the NCAA tournament resume, I don't even think I'm going to talk about that with the guys. I think I'm going to talk with a single-minded goal. Let's go there, you know, and try and win that tournament, be Big Ten champions. And, you know, it's three games. As close as you know, we've been in a long time to, you know, since 2014 to being in that spot. And we'll see who the matchup is. Could be Michigan, could be somebody else. Michigan's playing great, and great opportunity there for a good win, but at the same time, you know, we want to go there and be Big Ten champions.
Great goal. And you have three games, 3 days. It can happen. You're not having to play four. You're not having to play five. You have three. And Sparty did bad things to you the first time you played him way back in December. You were close against Purdue. You already beaten Michigan. Here's what this team needs. And as good as they've looked, the response from the naysayers is, well, you haven't beat anybody really good. You played one tournament team and won that. You played more than one tournament team, but you've only beaten one tournament team with your schedule. That's a fact. And Nebraska's response is, well, listen, this schedule, this 2017-2018 season was so jacked where it's front-loaded. We've gotten better. We don't get credit for wins against anybody. We sure as hell count for a lot, though, if we're beaten by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just kind of playing who's in front of us. So they do now have that opportunity in New York City, which is what they haven't had. And think about them. And Searles, you can mention this. Like, the fact that Nebraska has had to operate in this crazy, bizarro gray area where they've got to win, they can't lose, and oh yeah, by the way, you're not beating anybody, so you're not getting credit.
It's the backs against the wall mentality for them, as far as every time you're walking out on that court, it's do or die. And people don't give enough credit of how hard that is.
That's
to do.
That's draining.
Yeah, how hard that is to do game after game, practice after practice. I mean, it's a lot of pressure for those kids, and I think Miles nailed it on the head when he was talking about how he's not even going to bring up the tournament with his kids yet. And I mean, obviously, they're going to be thinking about it, but I mean, your attitude reflects your leadership. As far as if Miles is at the head of this ship and leading them in the right direction, I think it's shown that these kids will fall in line behind him, and he can take them as far as they want to go. So keeping focused on winning the first game at the tournament, showing up, being ready, being crisp and clean like they looked the other night. And I mean, the sky's the limit for these guys. And I would love to have Nebraska ball back to a huge national level. Go win some games and back, and I think it'd be really fun for the state. I mean, with all the buzz that's going on about the football team right now, let the basketball team go do something special, man. Let them go out there and have some fun and win some games, and I think it'll be a really good time.
It's been fun. I mean, it's been such a fun season and a fun team to cover. But what you do have with Nebraska is just, I mean, Stuart Mandel was with Dr. Petey earlier before the weekend got going with the Hail Varsity podcast. Nebraska finished 13-5 in Big Ten, still probably has almost no shot at an at-large bid. That's how bad the Big Ten was this year. I mean, people are just digging in, and Nebraska fans are getting in line to say, shut up, screw you. We're not going to hear that. And the resume looks very, very iffy. But what you see on the court is not iffy when they're playing well. So what Nebraska has been in search of is validation. And they have a chance to go validate themselves against a team no one wants to jack with in Michigan. I mean, nationally, Michigan's one of those, dark horse Final Four. Let's just throw it out there right now, right now, because it's going to be the case. Pharmacist Jeff emails in chris@hailvarsity.com. You guys should go beat Nova. Full disclosure, pharmacist Jeff went to Creighton. So he's there saying, well, go beat Nova, because my Jays just did.
I picked up my buddy from the airport, and we drove past Creighton. He goes, oh, Creighton's in Nebraska?
So pharmacist Jeff won't tell you the story how, like, and he's kidding. Ha, 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 don't hurt me, Searles. He's a big Donkeys fan.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't give him crap for that. My dad's a Donkey fan.
Right. So The funny thing here is Pharmacy Jeff won't tell you the story about how his pick-em-up truck got ripped off from campus. Joyride.
I'll have to hear that story sometime.
Well, yeah, we'll get together. Nate is in. About 90 seconds, Nate. Go for it.
Cool. All right. There's no way we don't get in. There really isn't. So Rasmussen is in the building. A third time has seen the eye test, right? And only one of those times did it really go poorly, right? And it was at the beginning of the year before the team gelled, right? He's not stupid. The guy's been around basketball his whole life. You think he's going to go to that meeting and not be like, all right, look, I know what the rest of y'all think, but I've seen it with my own two eyes.
Well,
he's the freaking head of the committee.
He is, Nate. And listen to this, man. I mean, committee's going to be in New York City.
Right.
And Nebraska's right. going to be playing in New York City
even
on
Friday. Even a good loss gets us in. As long as we don't get our apps handed to us, we're good.
I don't think you can't have that happen, obviously.
Right.
But
well, yeah.
They got to beat Michigan. And, God, think about the eyeballs that will be on CBS at noon or whenever they play on Saturday against Sparty if they can get by the Wolverines. That's what I want.
If by less than five, we're in. If it's a less than five,
you
gotta
not lose it.
You got to take Michigan down, brother. You got to beat Michigan. Nate, appreciate your call. I still think they got to get to the finals. They look good. They look awesome. What's the wait? Are you getting a C for the analytics part of things?
And now
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Coming up a little less than an hour from now, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. Jeremiah Searles is in. Chris Schmidt and the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, is going to tell you about his gambling weekend because he likes to be that guy.
And hot dogs.
Welcome in, Pride of Lincoln Southeast, a four-year starter with Husker basketball and captain, part of the Husker broadcast. Jake Muehlheisen with us. Muehl, what a ball game yesterday. Did you stand or did you sit with Kent? How did you pull?
I was sitting with KP yesterday, and I know the fans on the floor were in Kent's way for a little while. He told him to sit down. I thought that was pretty funny.
So when he does that, and I've met and spoken with KP before, and he's like in game mode, though, man. I mean, he's got his hauls or whatever he throws in to keep the old pipes glorious.
Oh, yeah.
And then he gets things set up just so. And then
he's awesome.
Was he polite about, hey, bro, can you sit down? Or sit down! Got it?
He's polite about it, but he's a true professional. And when he can't see... He basically blocked the whole left side of us. And when he can't see, he can't call the game. So he said, hey, can you sit down? He was nice about it.
Okay. So the pen cap was on when he threw it.
That's right.
All right. Take me into yesterday. This team has showed remarkable ability in big moments yesterday in Michigan to step up and look like a top 15 team. They looked that good yesterday in spurts in the first half defensively. Jake, did you think it was going to be one of those games for Nebraska? Did you have any doubt they'd come out so locked in?
I thought we'd come out ready to play just with the revenge factor of Penn State beating us there, and obviously James Palmer didn't play well at their place, and then Jordy didn't play. So I thought we had a little bit of an axe to grind, and obviously we had a lot on the line to beat them, but I didn't think we'd quite play that well, but we came out on them on the jump, and they really didn't know what hit them. And they kind of looked – we made them look unprepared, I thought. And when we do that, I think you're dead on. We looked like a top 20 team, in my opinion, and the best thing about it was, you know, Bruce Reston was there for the third time watching it front row and center, and hopefully that helps us here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we were discussing on the earlier segment that Smitty's number is three for these guys to win.
Three,
including yesterday as so, number one.
Okay. Now we're down to two.
Now we're down to two.
Number.
We had our buddy Nate call in say that they can even get in with a good loss to Michigan. Yeah. I personally think we need to win two more here. I'm with Schmitty. What did they need to do going to New York to clarify and leave no doubt for these guys heading into the NCAA tournament?
To leave no doubt? Win the damn thing, I guess, if you want to have no doubt.
But yeah.
I think in all reality, I think we're in right now. I really do.
Really?
Okay.
I do, just because I mean, you read all the stats and you know, all the guys doing the bracketology stuff, I mean, they're not on the committee, and they're not doing the eye test. They're just going just solely based on numbers. And you look at the past, you know, over the past 25 years, since 1985, 61 teams in the Big Ten that have won 13 have gotten in. So that math works for me. That's 100%. So I think I'll take my percentage and say that we're in. I mean, we can't lay an egg. I don't think we can do anything like that. And barring, you know, some wacky conferences having some 10 seeds win their tournaments, I think we're in no matter what. But obviously, go and beat Michigan. But we were talking today with some buddies, and is a win, let's say Illinois upsets Michigan, okay? Is a win against Illinois better, or is a loss to Michigan better?
I think you got to win. I mean,
I it's kind of rhetorical, just because it shows how flawed the system is.
Sure. Right.
Because a loss to Michigan almost looks better than a win against Illinois.
Yeah, because we're back to the narrative. Well, you're doing what you're supposed to do, Nebraska. Don't act like you should get credit for it.
Correct. Correct. So that's where it shows the system's flawed, in my opinion. And obviously, you go win, and whether you beat whoever you beat the first round, and you get to play day two, we're going to play a good team then. And whether you win or lose that one, you're on national TV, you get to show how good you are, and you know, you win that one, make the championships, then you're for sure in. But I think one is one win in the Big Ten tournament. I think you'll leave us no doubt.
Absolutely, Palmer coming out first team All Big Ten. We saw it here. Like, what has he been this year that's made him so special for this Nebraska team?
Has that been announced?
Big Ten Network's going through some stuff, and I don't have the sound up, but I think from a I don't know if it's coaches or media.
I believe it was the media that came out with first team All Big Ten for Palmer.
Yeah, I think he definitely deserves it. You look at what he's done, you know, to answer your question for this team, he's been that guy that, you know, has been able to get his own whenever he really wants it. And even when he's not scoring all the time, you know, the games that we played well on the road, look at Minnesota, he had 8 assists. He had 5 assists at Illinois, even though we lost that game. But even though when he's not scoring, he's doing some good things. And I think he's become a lot better defensively. When Miles sat him at Penn State, it was for his defensive effort. And since that time, he's been really good defensively too. So I think he's been a huge part of our team's success. And obviously, he's been awesome getting at the free throw line. He's leading the Big Ten in free throw attempts. So he's just one of those guys that couldn't have gotten as far without it, for sure.
Jake Mueleisen with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Jake Mule on Twitter, part of the Husker broadcast, and longtime standout for Southeast and, of course, Nebraska basketball, four-year starter and captain. Jake, why do you think Roby kind of came into his own? I know that the talent is there, but give me a reason why he kind of has lived up to this potential, this, oh, man, he's going to be so great. Well, yeah, but he's doing it. And why is that a reality now for Nebraska with him getting 11 and 10 a game?
Yeah, I think the offseason was huge for him. He put on, what, 20 pounds since last year. That's helped him fill this role, him playing the five position and playing against some bigger guys. So that helped him, you know, first and foremost. And then I think just the confidence that his teammates and coaches have in him. He's been able to play more freely this year than he did last year, and is just playing with some confidence. And it's amazing the last, you know, handful of games too, and how many offensive rebound tip outs that he's had. It just keeps possessions alive, and you know, he's always getting around that 10 to 12 point range every game, in that 7 to 12 rebound, having a couple blocks and assists. He's one of those guys that can do it all, and I think it just shows how much hard work you put on in the summertime and the offseason.
Well, let's assume that Michigan beats whoever they play. So it's Nebraska, Michigan, 130. You'll be in the Big Apple.
I'm not slated to go to the Big Apple. Mr. Matty Ice Davidson's going to that one right
well,
now.
I'll be
somewhere probably at a bar posted up and watching that for sure.
There's nothing wrong with
I'll
that.
I'll join you then before the show. That'd be gold before
That'd
the
be
show.
Awesome.
Dude, you need to get a part of that bench mob. That's what you need to get in on.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Dude, who comes up with those things?
Is that McVay?
I'm sure McVay's got a lot to do with it, but those guys, it just shows what type of team we have and just how close they are. They're just on the bench doing wacky stuff. I think it's great.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, it makes you find yourself watching the bench, like after a big shot or a big dunk, like, okay, what are they going to do? It's kind of like the touchdown celebration in the NFL this year. It's like the excitement factor. It brings a little bit something extra to the game.
For sure. It's good. And you know, they're supporting their teammates. And like Miles said, just as long as they're not doing anything disrespectful to the other team, have as much fun as you want.
That was good. Jake, why can Nebraska beat Michigan a second time? And are you confident that they can step up and do it? I mean, Michigan's playing great ball. Is it a matchup thing that makes you confident in Nebraska against Michigan?
Yeah, it is. They are playing really good. I watched them beat the tar out of Maryland on the road. Yeah, they played well. They're a jump shooting team, and when they're making shots, they're really good. But we've got the length at the guard positions to defend, you know, the three-point line really well. And they don't have a true big guy. You know, Mo Wagner is really good, but I think Roby's a good matchup for him. So I think we can match up really, really good against those guys. And then it's hard for teams to make shots during tournament times, and sometimes they come out a little stiff. So in my opinion, we rely on our defense and our driving and our attack on offense to score. That bodes better well in tournament time than a jump shooting team, in my opinion.
Let's play it forward here, two more minutes before we got to say goodbye. How does Nebraska get to Michigan State then? If they get by Michigan, what went so wrong against Sparty the first time? It was almost a 30 spot.
Yeah, Michigan State's just a tough matchup for us. We don't have a true big guy, but you watch Wisconsin play them and play them tough. And I think the distractions for Michigan State, you know, this year with some of the sexual assault allegations and then with the recruiting stuff, I think that looms bigger than what people think. So I think we can, because it comes down to us defending, and you have to get a little lucky with them missing shots. They're so talented down low, and we just have a tough time matching up with their big guys. But, you know, I'm sure we want another crack at them, and with them dropping a 30 spot on us, I'm sure we haven't forgotten about that. We want to take it to them, so we might have an advantage mentally too.
Well, I think that game really got Nebraska to attention for the rest of the Big Ten season because they didn't play that poorly ever again, even though it was against a great team. Jake Muehlheisen with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jake, we will get the ball to you when you're posted up Friday somewhere, somehow.
That sounds good. I like that.
Hey, man, you're awesome. Thanks for joining us, and we'll get caught up again real soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Take care. Jake Muehlheisen with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Jake Muehl on Twitter. So he is not going to – Muehlheisen takes New York is not going to happen.
He's going to take a bar somewhere, and he sounded a little bit more excited about it than he probably should be. I'm going to be somewhere watching a bar.
I'm going to be somewhere posted up.
Posted up at a bar.
That's a good call.
It's excitement.
That's fun, man. That's fun.
There's nothing wrong posted up at a bar.
There is not. There's something real wrong with doing that and then having a show to do. It'll be fun. But I won't post up.
You can mix business and pleasure.
This Friday. Find your way to Madonna Pro Active 56 in Pine Lake. You want to talk about a workout facility that is there for you when it comes to health, fitness, and wellness goals. It's Madonna Pro Active 56th in Pine Lake. Take the tour. Schedule a tour today, 402-420-0000. If you haven't been inside Madonna Pro Active, it is the nicest health club in Lincoln. I dare say the state. It is phenomenal. They have an indoor lap pool. It's heated, thank God. And, of course, the Aqua Track, full-court basketball, state-of-the-art cardio equipment, indoor cushioned walking track that's on the second floor, yoga studio, spinning studio, TRX studio, 130 classes offered each week. And that is included with your membership. You can log on. MadonnaProactive.org. They also have pickleball, which is big time. MadonnaProactive.org. Get your tour today with Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. Go see the great folks at Madonna. I've been going there for years. Love them and love that facility. We will talk some Team Jack and some football with Searles next on Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Big thanks to Jake Muehlheisen for spending time with us. You missed part of the show, can log on hailvarsity.com. Get the podcast. Also go to iTunes And select excerpts will be part of ESPNLincoln.com. So, Jeremiah Searles is in, Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, Pride of Chicago. Searles, you and a lot of your buddies were back for the Team Jack Foundation Gala down at the Embassy Suites on Saturday. Give us kind of a rundown, and I hear you can get fantastic vacations from there, too.
Absolutely. I mean, it's my favorite event of the year. I mean, it's hands down all the guys that I was close with that helped start this foundation as far as being on the ground floor of a grassroots foundation like Team Jack. To see where it was and to see where it is, to where we've eclipsed the $5 million mark in 5 years, which is incredible. I mean, when you really think about, I mean, it all started with a young boy named Jack that wanted to meet Rex Burkett. I mean, that's how this whole thing started. And then Andy Hoffman decided that this isn't enough for my kid to be giving him a drug that was back in 1985 used. Why is my son getting this? And to see where we've gone now with having the doctor speak and give us the updates as far as where it's at and what we're funding and how we're funding it and how that this foundation is, sometimes foundations can get lost with their money and where it's going. And you hear about some foundations that money's like 80% of it's going to advertising or 70% of it's going to this. And like, I mean, we are trying to put as much that we can to the kids, and that's the way it should be. Then we got to hear, I got to meet Bill Moose and hear him speak, which was awesome to hear how he's backing up this foundation because he feels that Nebraska athletics has been a huge part of it, and he does not want that to stop. And that was really awesome to hear and get a chance to chat with him and kind of just mess with him. And he was talking about how when he was a left tackle and he was standing next to me, Spencer Long and Brent Qualley, and he was like, I don't know if I can necessarily do that anymore, but great to meet him. And then, yeah, we got a vacation in the live auction. We're going to Keystone for a week in some foreseeable future, not sure when. The wife definitely loved that one. And then Spencer Long got the auction for a golf trip. So, I mean, we all find ways to not just
you
give
support.
Back, but you support. It's different to show up. And, I mean, you talk all the time about people that just show up and are there. It's different to show up, participate, and really give back. And I think that's what a lot of the guys feel that we can do now. I mean, now that we're in our third, fourth, fifth year and we have some money in our pocket, it's the right thing to do, to be part of a foundation, talk about it, but also act on it. Mm-hmm. And that's something I'm blessed enough to be in a position with my wife to be able to do that. It's exciting because I really know where the money's going, and it's something that I feel very much a part of. And I actually told Andy I would be interested in emceeing it next year.
Good for you.
I think that would be something fun to do. And we had a great MC. The guy from NBC Sports, former voice of the Huskers, Rick Allen, was there.
Okay.
So I got to chat with him. And I was talking with him a little bit. And I was like, man, I might be calling you next year to get some tips. He's like, hey, I think you'd be really good at it. So that's something I really want to do. But
good for you, man.
I mean, the amount of support from the Husker players that come back is awesome. I mean, you look right across the board. You got the Kenny Bells, Amir Abdullahs, Will Compton, Levante. I mean, all big names, and then even guys like Derek Foster, Chris Long, Sam Hahn, like those guys are there too because they were part of it, and they're just as much important as us. And so I think it's really kind of cool. I mean, you see guys like Gerald Foster, who's on the current team now, that we need to keep guys involved, keep the next era of Husker football players. I think that's where we need to pull those guys in and be like, hey, this is something we started, but we want you to continue.
Well, and that's part of, you mean, that's the buzzword for Scott Frost is culture,
yep.
Right? And it's a culture that needs to be fast and physical. We'll get into that next hour. But also giving, and that's from your era. I'm not dating you or calling you old here.
Millennial.
Yeah, you millennial.
I know where you're going.
My point is you guys have been very open and proactive with wanting to be charitable and give time back. I mean, you're big time with Tyson's Treasures.
Yep.
And given research, you know, finances to help that, just like Team Jack.
It's just something, I mean, I think everyone's
so important to you.
It's important to you. And when it's important to you,
it looks great, but you it means something to you.
It means something to you, and it's something that you really want to pour your heart and soul into because you were there when it started. I mean, you can't say you were there for when Wounded Warrior started. You can't say you were there when a lot of some of these charities were made. But, like, I was there. I was on the field with Jack when he ran that touchdown. I got to meet Andy when he was the first time around. I mean, I got to tour Tyson around before he passed away. So, I mean, these are just things that are near and dear to me and my wife's heart. And so it makes it that much more fun when you can be involved.
Jeremiah Searles and Team Jack, along with Tyson's Treasure Chest, great organizations and great give back by you and your pals. And you guys don't get to see each other that often. I mean, you'll see guys once or twice a year on the field, but you don't get a chance to get caught up that often off the field, and Team Jack kind of allows that too, correct?
Yeah, I mean, all the NFL guys are back, and it's crazy how many of us this year are in contract years. I mean, there's a lot of us. So myself, Quali, Spencer Long, Will Compton, Amir's going into last year, Kenny's with a new team, Zaire's going. So, I mean, you get to kind of chat about that, and I mean, there's not
Levante's fine.
Levante's doing just fine. And so you get to chat with these guys that are in the same position as you. I mean, it's hard to come talk to, I mean, even like yourself, it'd be hard to communicate kind of how I'm feeling, where my contract's at, to where you can say one thing to one guy and they know exactly what you're talking about. So it's great to hear other guys' perspectives on, man, I watched you play a lot this year. I thought you played really well. Because you do. You watch each other on film. You get to watch each other compete. You get to watch each other play. And it's a cool thing to know that there's Husker guys in the NFL. And there's a lot of us when you kind of really stop and look. I mean, we're no SEC school, but none of us have the big bank accounts that the SEC guys had either. So we're doing all right for ourselves.
You are, Searles. And that's one thing. Who was I talking with last week about this? Might have been Tom Deanhart or Pizzo. But I asked him the offensive line reputation, and they threw back at me. They aren't being mean. They're just, when's the last time Nebraska had a lineman drafted? And I'm like, well, you had Alex Lewis,
Spencer was in the third,
and then Spencer is what. But your senior class with Spencer drafting, and you and Quali
undrafted.
But you're in the league now for a fourth year, going on another contract year. So you guys have made it and started and played. So either the fact you weren't drafted, you've played and you've contributed. But really, that O-line group, it's kind of the last guys who made first team, second team, not that that's end-all, be-all, but you want to talk like really good lines, and not coincidentally, that's the last time you guys went to a Big Ten championship game, too.
I mean, you're in the Big Ten. You got to have an O-line that can run the ball in November when it's freezing cold outside, and you got to have a defensive line that can stop the run. In my opinion, those are the two. I mean, obviously, offensive linemen here, get off your soapbox, but I mean, those are the two things that you really need in the Big Ten, and so I think that, yeah, I mean, we get tweets all the time. It's ridiculous. I'll get tweeted at, and it'll be like Spencer and Jeremiah, or Brent and Jeremiah never lived up to their expectations at Nebraska. Well, that's not true.
Played as a true freshman.
We played as a true freshman, but at the same time, guys develop differently. Every year, guys develop differently. And so maybe me and Quali, we developed, we became players who we were, and we were able to go and make a team. Everyone puts these numbers on, well, these guys weren't drafted. It doesn't matter. Guys are going to make it from this Husker team in the NFL that aren't drafted. It's just all about how you work and how you get there, and Frost is bringing that back.
Jeremiah Searles will wind down hour one. Charlie McBride coming up in 15 minutes. Mondays with Charlie on Hail Varsity Radio. We'll dive into the Frost offense. Get Searles' thoughts on that. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
10 minutes away, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Maybe you're closer than 10 minutes away from Sauter-Hammond. Can see Rick and your friends at Sauter-Hammond. Pure-grown diamonds, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. 100% real diamonds, except they're grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. And that means they have characteristics of earth-mined diamonds that many customers think are more beautiful than those earth-mined diamonds. So they're eco-friendly, they're 100% sustainable, and perk up on this, 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. 12th and O downtown Lincoln can go see Rick. South Point Pavilion in Lincoln can go see Rick, or out west in Grand Island, SauterHammond.com. Maybe it's time. Birthday, anniversary, special occasion. Whatever the case may be, Sauter-Hammond there for you, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. Searles, thank you for your thoughts on Team Jack. We have spent time talking Nebraska basketball. We'll get into some Husker football coming up, which will be good. How'd you spend today? You worked out this morning, and then what?
Worked out, went and saw the doc, came home, hung out with the wife, dove into my Bible study that I've started since last week.
What are you studying?
I'm going through Matthew right now. Started Matthew, and I got through about chapter 6 when it was his Sermon on the Mount, and that's a heavy chapter, so I'm going to have to go back and reread that tomorrow. But did that. Me and the wife were doing that together. Then I jumped on Fortnite and saved the world a little bit there because, I mean, if it was easy, everyone would do it.
Yes. How fantastic are you at it?
I'm all right at it. I'm not great. I got one solo win, though. Bless up. I got a couple group wins, but it's fun because everyone's playing it. So you kind of jump on, and you can kind of just jump on with any of your buddies at any time and play it. And it's extremely addicting.
Are you on Xbox or PlayStation?
Xbox.
Okay, good.
The true gamer system. Yeah. And then the problem is it's too addicting to the point where you start playing at like 8, and then by 11, you're like, all right, my last game. And then by 3 in the morning, you're like, all right, boys, where are we dropping in? Like, let's do this. And then you like look at the clock like, it's kind of like Netflix when you binge a Netflix series,
sure.
Except for way worse.
Sure. Okay.
It's way worse.
And then if you win a game, you have to play another one too. Like,
or if you lose too. If you lose right. a game, you're like, yeah. I got to play another one.
Yeah.
Are you a Fortnite guy?
Oh, yeah, big Fortnite guy.
Oh, where are you dropping in at, man?
I don't know. We like to switch it up. We're big prison guys when we go in groups. Yeah, we do pretty well with that.
Snobby Shores, man.
Yeah, that's the new good
place. Snob, the snobby shores for life.
Oh, yeah.
I'm,
where are you going in, Chris?
I don't play it, obviously, says the old man in the room.
Carson's got to be on, though, right, Junior?
He's on something, and he horrified me and my wife as parents because, you know, mom and dad are back from Arizona and... He's talking about how, because there's this, is it Grand Theft Auto?
Oh, that's a, yeah.
He's talking about how good of a drug dealer he is. Mm.
That's a tough job to do in that game.
He's like, yeah, Papa, I got rid of this many kilos. We haven't been arrested yet.
He's got no stars? Good for him.
Supply and demand. I'm just like, I'm getting this like side look. From my dad.
Oh, your dad.
From my dad.
Oh, grandpa.
And then I just get this like blank stare from my mother. And
proud moment.
No, it was brutal. It's so awful. I'm just so. And then he's yeah. So I need to monitor. I'd want him to spend less time on his computer gaming or his.
Get him outside.
No, he does.
Finally, it's finally a nice day out, dude. I've been just
We're FaceTiming him here when we go to break.
Absolutely.
Just get him off his.
I'll yell at him a little bit.
Yeah, him and Roz.
Flex a little muscles.
But he, yeah. So he's working on his econ degree.
Supply and demand, baby.
Coach McBride, Mondays with Charlie on the way.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to be back with you. Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It's that time. Chris Schmidt and Husker and Minnesota Viking Jeremiah Searles in studio today. It's Mondays with Charlie time. Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Coach, great to speak with you. How are you?
Good. Couldn't be better.
Good weekend?
Oh, yeah. It's 60 today. The ice is off the lake. The fishermen are about ready to attack this place. And my boat's in the barn, and can't get it out for a while, so I'll just be resting.
Well, good for you. Are you an ice fisherman? Do you like ice fishing?
Yeah, no, I don't.
Good answer. It's fine. It's completely.
There's a lot to do, though. I mean, there's a lot of guys to do. I saw a guy the other day riding his bicycle across the lake.
That's bold.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was waiting for him to disappear.
So I can see you looking out the window, kind of playing it in your head, going, yeah, he's going to get about halfway and he's going to get sacked.
We have guys riding bikes, we had cross-country skiers, we had snowmobiles, and people walking. That's across the water. So we had some entertainment anyway.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, I want to spend a few minutes here. Really good couple of Q&A stories on Coach Frost with the Journal Star and the World Herald. And I wanted to kind of get your take here on the Nebraska formula that's been talked about. And it was described as the following: recruiting, development, roster size that's large, practice reps, culture, hard work, physical play. And that's just how it's a way of life. And
right.
When you got to Nebraska, how were you introduced to it, or did you kind of know about the Nebraska culture and what Coach Osborne had developed, and then you guys combined forces and the rest is history?
Well, number one, the first day I was there, you won't even believe this, but I went in my office and Larry's dad was in there.
Okay.
You know,
sure.
He was the head coach over at Lincoln High, and he just happened to be in there when I came in. And
first day.
Wow. But no, we just talked for a while, and you know, and that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the next day or two, I guess it was, Coach Osborne called me in the office, and he said, "Well, I'm going to give you a short job description. Number one, you're a recruiter. Number two, you're a coach. And number three, if you cheat, you're fired."
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So the rest of it was pretty well taken care of. But, you know, we've depended a lot on the strength coaches, and that, you know, Coach Osborne had, you know, a lot of trust in them. And we just followed the leader. And Boyd was running the program then, and, of course, Mike Arthur was there. And I don't know, there's some guys still around there that are, I think, still working there. And but, you know, as I got, I had to kind of catch up with it. I learned as I went. And I think that the staff that's in there already knows what their jobs are and things like that. So, you know, that's a plus. I mean, I really think that is, although I was actually the only one at that time that was hired, so I was kind of the neophyte of the whole thing. And, you know, I just, you know, kind of caught up with it is really how I did it.
He in these Q&As, Scott talks a lot about how this isn't the 1995, we're not going to become the 1995 Huskers overnight, but he also talks about bringing that culture to 2018. What are some things that he was a part of in that 90s team, that or in the early 90s, that he can bring to this 2018 that's just a different era of kids?
Like, are you talking about Scott now?
Yes, I am. Sorry.
Yeah,
just what is something that he can bring to them that he was a part of that you think that he could really just kind of show up with?
No, that's easy. Well, you know, when he came in there, his work habits were big time. I mean, you know, you knew right away what he was made of. I mean, all of his workouts, all the things he did, he didn't say a whole lot. He just worked his tail off. I think the other thing was the respect that he gained through that when he came there, the respect that he got from the other players by his work habits. I think that's, you know, where you see guys at their first time there, that's the weight room, it's the workouts, it's those things is where you start creating a team. You don't create a team in the fall, you create one starting with the first day of a winter program. And I think that, you know, that he went through that, and you know, his respect was probably the biggest thing that I remember. I mean, he was, when you got on the field, you didn't have any question about his toughness. And, I mean, he was a physical player. And, you know, when he got the ball and made a decision, he made a decision. Whether it was right or wrong, he didn't sit around and guess about, he just turned up and went or threw the ball. And I remember Coach Osborne's philosophy of quarterbacks when we were out recruiting. He says, what we want, at first we were a throwing team. And then as time went on, we changed, and went to a little more option stuff. And so he was looking for a runner first and passer second. A lot of teams are running for a passer first and runner second. But I said, what about the throwing aspect? Well, he said, they have to be able to throw, but we can teach them. You know, we can teach them a lot here. So it wasn't a must, you know, you got to be the greatest passer in the world. But, I mean, you take guys like Jared Godowski, who, when you look at him on film in high school, he wasn't, you know, just a super passer. But then you turn around, and when he played at Nebraska, I think maybe his last year, he threw 26 touchdown passes. So, and that was, that led to, at that time, the Big Eight. So, you know, there's a, but Scott was kind of a guy that, you know, that really, when he got in the huddle, he reminded me a lot of Turner Bill. Hmm. You know, the respect was there. You can feel it and you can see it, but you can't explain how it really got there except through his work habits and his character and, you know, and things like that. But, I mean, when things got going tough, he got better.
Charlie McBride's with us Mondays with Charlie Hale, Varsity Radio. Coach, a lot's talked about with expectations, and Coach Frost is aware of that, but he also thinks that the patience part of things will be maybe a little better than they've been in past years. I mean, the excitement level's through the roof right now for him, but they also realize it's going to take some time. Is that something that you've lived it, dealing with the expectations, the fan base?
Yeah.
They love you, but they also want you to win.
Well, you know, the thing is it grows. We were there and we were winning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
9 games and that was boring, you know. And then I think one year
boring.
but anyway, you know, I figured out when I retired that I took all the stuff my wife. I didn't pay any attention to any of this stuff. She said, you know, you average winning when you were coaching there. You average winning 10 games a year, and you know, when I thought about that, you got to be kidding me. But it all came together, I think, with a group. It all came together. You know, sometimes you get guys like Trev, for example. He was a great leader. And we had a real quiet defensive end named Dante Jones.
Right.
This guy was a scorpion. I mean, you know, he was fast. I don't even know how many words he ever said to me. You know, and, I mean, he just played. And, you know, you'd say something to him, he'd just look at you. You know, he's, okay, coach, and that was about it. So that may be his vocabulary toward me, but, you know, it was, you know, those kind of people. It wasn't always the vocal guy or any of that. It was kind of a guy that just, you know, and those guys, when they make big plays, they excite everybody. They excite the offense. I mean, And the thing we really worked on is we're not an offense and a defense. We're a team. Defensively, we're responsible. We are totally responsible for getting the ball for the offense. And if we can't get it, then it's our problem. So, you know, you always hear from the players. I didn't say a whole lot of it, but they'd always be yelling on as they went on the field, three and out. You know, and they come upset if they didn't go three and out, you know, or if somebody scored. And a lot of times when you look at our defense, if you go back and realize how good it really was, I mean, all the years I was there, we had a good defense at times, sometimes a little better personnel. But the thing that happened was we would get ahead of people. And then we put, you know, the guys at threes and fours sometimes in the game, and they might score 2 touchdowns, and they might get 100 yards or 200, I don't know, whatever it was, passing or running, and it would distort the real truth about how good we really were. And I think they're going to be that kind of a team. I sense that the aggressiveness that came out when we went to a 4-3, we decided we're not going to let that quarterback just stand back there and throw. We're going to, you know, we're going to live by the sword. We're going to die by the sword. And we were a pressure defense. And we were a man under defense, one free, and played a little of cover 2 and cover 3. And we rolled cover 3 a lot of times. But we disguised our coverages. We disguised our fronts. And I think that had a lot to do with it.
Coach, there's a lot of talk about physicality and speed, talking about this Frost offense. You've seen it all. What can he do to mix the two and still be effective? It's not easy to do. I mean, you're either a physical Wisconsin team, but Ohio State's kind of got the niche on the corner of this speed, physical game. Can Nebraska get to that, and how do they do that?
Well, when we went to the pressure defense, you got one thing you have to realize if you're going to do it. You better get two corners or you're going to hang them out to dry because the rest of the guys are going to do another business. And so that was – I mean, we turned down good players because of their speed. I mean, kids, you know, high school kids that would be great linebackers or something. I remember one pair of linebackers, one ran a 10-3, 10-400 meters, and the other ran a 10-6. And they were faster than our backs. And so we had guys coming off the edge that, I mean, they were flying. And Trev was, I think he still leads the team in sacks. I'm not sure, you know, but he did when, you know, late that I have heard lately, he still was the team leader.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an example of a guy that was relentless. And if you know, when you meet Trev, he's just a good, upstanding, good-looking guy standing there. You didn't know he'd ever try to kill anybody, but, you know, he was basically a trained killer. And, you know, so, and you know, we had guys that looked like older boys that get in the game, and holy moly, they turn into somebody else. So if you had looked at our team and talked to some of them, you probably would have thought, these guys are really that good or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But it all came from inside, and I think their responsibility to each other was a big thing that I pushed. You know, if you make a mistake, do it 100 miles an hour. Somebody's gonna make up for you, and you can do something on the next play. But the thing was is don't be afraid to turn it on. I mean, don't be afraid to let it go every play. And if you felt you can't go anymore, just run off the field. And the other guy for sure is going to be watching. He'll get on the field fast enough. It didn't take me yelling at anybody. They knew what the score was that way. They knew their rotations. And as it got on, we tried to get, because we had some depth, we tried to get guys rotating every two series. And at least up front. Now, it wasn't so much with the backers and the coverage. But it was more so up front because those are the guys that got to get to the quarterback. Those are the guys that have to react to the running plays and so on and so forth. But we were just like anybody else, stopped the run first. And I remember playing Miami when we went down to play them one time in the 94. They asked me that big last, stand up in front of about 300 reporters. And they say, well, how are you going to stop these guys? And I said, well, we're going to stop the run first, and everybody starts laughing. So anyway, that's just kind of the way it went, and they ran two running plays in the second half. So maybe they thought, and we won, and maybe they thought we were right.
So, you were. Good stuff. Charlie McBride with us. Mondays with Charlie Hale, Varsity Radio. Coach, we'll get caught up again next week. Keep that 60-degree weather coming, all right?
Yeah, you know I'm getting faster. I don't know if you're going to catch me.
No, I think you got me beat. Searles is pretty good, though. He's pretty fast. So.
Within 10 yards. Within 10 yards.
I just don't want to be around him when he hits me. And if he falls on me, I know I'm going to have – I know I won't get up. That's the way it is.
He might help us.
He's playing great. I mean, the kid really did a heck of a job in Nebraska. And I'm proud of you, the way you played. And so, just keep doing what you're doing. And, that's the only way you can do it. And keep it going mentally, whether you're playing or you're not playing.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Coach.
Okay. Bye now, guys.
Take care, Coach. There he is, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie on Hale Varsity Radio. We love Coach McBride, and he's watching folks go across that icy lake right now. He's good stuff. And he kind of laid out defenses, and we'll spend some time on that physicality and speed discussion.
miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Gotta love it. Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. Great to get caught up with the coach. Jeremiah Searles is in through Wednesday this week. Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, will have your fact checks before we say goodbye about who did what to who this weekend with our Friday forecast picks. It'll be Searles and Danny Burke here. They take over the last 20 minutes. I have a district game, Lincoln High and Lincoln East, tonight. Can't wait for it. So I will be off to go get that thing started up. And you guys will... You won't burn the house down.
We'll do our best. We'll try and make Dad proud.
No, I'm not worried about either of you. You'll be fine, but I just, you know.
Yeah, we'll be all right. We'll throw some hot fire takes out there.
Thank you. That'll be good. That'll be good. A quick hot take on this Omaha.com Q&A with Chattel and Frost. And let's talk about that marriage here of physical line play but speed on offense. And Coach McBride touched on, you know, stopping the run, super important. That's being physical.
That's every defense's number one goal.
Right.
Long as I've played football, is stop the run, make the game one-dimensional.
Right.
I hear it every Saturday night from our head coach, who's a defensive guy. Guys, stop the run, make them one-dimensional. So, I mean, if we can do that, we'll be all right.
The marriage of this old school, new school. You have the Osborne way with the development.
Run the ball.
And the toughness. And I love it. I mean, I'm running the ball guy. You know that.
Yeah, I'm in.
And then you want to modernize it, i.e. with what Chip Kelly's done. Do you think it can be done?
I think it can, but it definitely takes time, and it definitely takes personnel. I mean, you look at what we tried to do last year.
Do you remember those Oregon teams?
Absolutely. They could run. I mean, they were running around guys all the time, but then every now and then they get caught against a team that was – physical, more physical than them, and they'd struggle.
It'd be a bad matchup against somebody from the SEC.
Or even like a Big Ten school. But at the same time, there was matchups where they just ran around people because they were just straight faster than them. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you can find a good mix, i.e. Ohio State, it's hard to stop. It's very hard to stop because it gets to the point where if you're running the ball with speed, then the changeup is we're coming right at you. You get defensive linemen running sideways because you're running around them. Then all of a sudden, you got a guy that fires off right at them, and they're on their heels a little bit. And linebackers peek with their eyes in the backfield. That's the changeup aspect, and then you throw it over their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that you can do it. It takes personnel. It takes time. And it definitely takes time with the guys up front, getting them in shape for being able to run 100-plus plays a game, which I can't even fathom. And
that's
still,
kind of the new isn't it?
It's the new thing as far as just keep going, just at one after another. You just keep coming right back at them. And to be said, it's good, and it's a feel-good feeling when you can do that. But, I mean, I think we had a high of an 87-play game this year in the NFL, and I don't know how I felt so terrible afterwards. I don't know how, like, these guys can go run 112 plays a game and do it week after week after week. But it does wear a defense down, and it keeps them on their heels.
Well, you can't sub. It's the same heavy set dudes on the line of scrimmage that it's still you're firing off. And there is that perception of finesse, and that is shifting. It's not finesse. It's just fast.
Yep.
And that's the trick, finding guys. And I look at your offense at Nebraska when you had Amir and you had Rex. And you had yourself, and you had
Taylor.
Spencer, and you had T-Magic, and you guys were able to do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to the tune of beating Michigan State, or it was to the tune of smoking Iowa, or you're right there against Wisconsin, and you beat Wisconsin. So you were able to do it. How did you guys approach it?
I think we approached it.
Because you're recruited as an offensive lineman to run Beck's system
yep.
that is more – or less similar, and it's not Frost's offense, but it's still a spread.
It's a spread.
It's not the Riley offense.
I mean, we pivoted from when, but the year before I got here was Joe Gans, who loved the guy to death, fantastic, but he wasn't going to run away from anyone.
No.
And so we pivoted from, okay, now we've got Cody Green, who's more of a runner first, kind of like McBride touched on, like he was a runner that we felt we could teach into a passer. And then all of a sudden the emergence of Taylor Martinez, who could run away from anyone on the field, really kind of opened the playbook for us. It really was able to take that spread system and keep the physicality part of it, because we had backs like Roy Helu, and we had backs like Rex, who were recruited and built to go downhill. And then Taylor added that factor of, I'm going to pull the ball and run around the edge for 100 yards.
Yeah.
So that kind of was able where we were able to mesh the two. And I think that that worked out really well for us. But then towards the end of my career, we definitely move more towards just a straight spread offense, because guys like Amir, guys like Kenny, who you could give like an end around to, it just, you were able to run around them. And I think that's where they're going to have to find the personnel that can run around. But if they want to keep the physicality part, these guys up front got to do their part. And I'm a little worried about who's the alpha in that room, like who's the alpha in that'll run. I want to say Gerald Foster. I want to say it's his job. I actually ran into him this week and I was kind of had a few pops, and I was talking to him about it and just talking to him about how, like, hey, man, you got to pick this. Like, you got to be the guy, because every O-line needs a guy that, hey, fall in line, follow me, we're going. And if Foster can be that guy, I think this O-line can be well enough this year with the development that they're going and the way I'm seeing them work that I'm excited for what they can do. But I struggle with the concept of fast and physical. I think you need one or the other to really focus on and then try and implement the other one in over time.
The choice will be physical.
Yes.
And that,
for me, at least.
That's my choice, but I think it'll be Frost's choice.
I think so, too, but because mostly to the fact that if you come out here and you don't be physical as a Nebraska team, you kind of lose your identity. You kind of lose your identity of who you are as far as the Nebraska Cornhuskers, which I love how he, in all his interviews he refers to them as the Cornhuskers. I feel like it's very old school instead of just the Huskers. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Hit my brain. I really liked it. But I think that the identity he's going to put forth is that physical and toughness, because that's not something that's made in the fall. That's something that's made right now. That's something they can work on right now all the way until the fall, and then you implement that. So I think you're probably right. The physical part will come first, and then they'll introduce the speed.
Because I don't think in year one at Central Florida he ran tempo.
See,
he ran it, but he picked his spot to run it. He didn't. You're not three and out, 30 seconds, punt, go have fun defense.
That's the other part, too. You really got to be good with the tempo on defense. I mean, if you do that, you do two or three quick three and outs, that defense can get worn out really quick, and you need your defense fresh in the fourth quarter when you've been pounding on dudes the whole game as an offense, and you go out there and let your defense take the guys three and out. So I'm sure he'll find a great balance. I have no doubt in that, and I'm actually very interested. I'm going to go to a lot of spring practices while I'm home just because I'm extremely curious to see how he runs a practice.
Workouts in the morning, you like it?
I do. I love it. I think it's fantastic as a player. I know that when you can go, you're more, for me at least, I love getting my workouts in the morning. If I make it past noon, there's a solid chance I'm not getting a workout in.
It's Fortnite.
It's just, it's by that time, my brain has kind of shut off. I mean, and especially for classes, I think it'll be really good. Get the kids up, get them going, get them to practice, and then they have absolutely zero excuse to miss a class. You're up. You're there. You have zero excuse. The checkers will be sitting there with their newspapers, with their behind it. They have the pictures of the kids to make sure you're there. That's how they did it with us.
Okay, so I mean, I know there was like a search committee for Randy to get the class.
Yes,
I mean there was. Yes. There was like five people assigned to Randy.
Yes,
and Randy said that, told me that. So
yeah, I mean that's not a secret.
They had a lot of people making sure I got the class.
Yes,
but. Fair to say offensive linemen were more trustworthy about getting to class?
I think it was because we held ourselves to a different standard than the team held themselves to. As an offensive line, my senior year, we had a bunch of seniors. I mean, you got a guy like Spencer Long, who was the leader of the room. Oh, by the way, he's pre-med. By the way, he studied for the MCAT all summer and got a 29 on it. And when you have a guy like that leading the room, it's like I said, the alpha. Mm-hmm. He was truly, I mean, I'm not afraid of him. He was a captain of the team. He was the alpha of the room. And then you had guys right below him, myself, Qualley, Cole Penzick, that, I mean, we were enforced what we believed from him. And that's why I think when he did get hurt, someone stepped right up. And so as an alpha in the room, it's your job to make sure that everyone else underneath you is training and fighting to be that alpha, because the more people you want to be the alpha, the better you're going to be.
Okay.
And so we held ourselves to a better standard of, we're going to be on the dean's list. We're going to make every class. We're not going to be missing class. We're going to go regardless of what you're feeling that day. And that's a culture thing. It really is. That's a culture thing that was instilled in us and that I still carry with me to this day. I mean, it built me to who I am. And it built me, those guys, to who they are too, to where I still wake up at panic attacks at 4 a.m. that I'm going to be late to a meeting. It's just a culture thing. And I think that was lost a little bit with the last system.
I think you're right. And that's why when it comes to expectations and when it comes to patience, I mean, Coach Frost has reiterated time and time again that you want it done right, not fast. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take time. And it kind of comes down to who you're recruiting. I mean, I think when you talk about that offensive line room, you guys that came up together, you know, Spencer comes from a really great family and has priorities.
Yep.
You come from a good family, you have your priorities. Penzix, Qualley. I mean, you go down the list of those, you're starting 5-0 linemen in 12, and it wasn't new to you. You had some sort of really good baseline as you got ready for college, yep, with this is what we want our culture to be. You didn't have someone screaming it at you, did you?
I mean, Bo.
Well, he had, but I can't see him like walking into the O-line room going, "You guys got to do this."
No, I mean, absolutely. But it was.
I mean, he'd scream at you, but it was going to be about something.
It was guys like Ricky Henry, Keith Williams, Matt Slosson the year before Slaw-daddy? I was there.
Okay.
Those guys are the ones that were there with Bo and Dobson, our strength coach at the time, who was the true like disciplinarian.
Mm-hmm.
And it was those guys that set the standard,
mm-hmm,
and we just kind of fell in line and learned from them. And then it went down from guys on that.
You got to have it passed forward.
Jake Cotton comes in. We teach him. He's the captain this senior year. He breaks it down. And I think that was lost a little bit in this last system, that there was no pass down for, and that's hard to say.
Or enforcement.
Enforcement. I wasn't there. I don't know how it worked, but I can definitely already tell, just chatting with Davidson and those guys, that it's definitely coming back.
Jeremiah Searles, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity Radio with you on a Monday. What are mine about your friends at Rockbrook Camera? You think of Hail Varsity, you think of those amazing photos. And when it comes to Hail Varsity's photography needs, the trust and execution with Rockbrook Camera and your friends at Sony, the mirrorless imaging technology achieves new dimensions in photographic speed, performance, and those cameras are a fraction of the size and weight of traditional digital SLR cameras. You see it every week with the Hail Varsity magazine or HailVarsity.com. The action shots that Aaron and the staff have, it's incredible, and it's through Rockbrook Camera. 3 locations in the area for you. Log on today, RockbrookCamera.com.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome back here on Hail Varsity Radio. I am Jeremiah Searles with our guy Danny out of Chicago. We're taking over for Chris Schmidt as he's off to call a high school basketball game for us. Danny, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to get going. Now's when the real fun starts.
Absolutely. Now's when the real show starts. Well, we talked about Team Jack. We caught up with Charlie earlier. I want to talk to you guys about something that is very near and dear to my heart. I am on the board of directors along with my wife for Tyson's Treasure Chest. It is a foundation for a young boy named Tyson Zimmer, who I had the pleasure of letting him make a wish and come and tour the stadium back in 2011, I believe it was. He passed away a few months later. His mom and dad, Liz and Austin Chambers, very dear, awesome people. They sat with me this weekend at Team Jack. We are hosting a golf tournament this July, July 21st. We're fairly certain it's going to be at Woodland Hills. And I wanted to talk to you guys about early sign up. We're going to do a thing where I believe that the first 72 golfers that sign up will get a discounted rate. We're still working on the rates, but I'm going to be tweeting out a link. We're going to be putting it on Facebook. It's an awesome event every year. I have a lot of my buddies that come in for town that come in for it. I'm going to try and get some of the Vikings guys back for it. And we have a silent auction in it. And it's a great time. It's a great day of golf. Free lunch, I might add. So that's always a plus. And it's just a great time. It's something that I love doing. It's something I thoroughly enjoy putting my heart into, and would love for all you guys to come out. So again, follow me on Twitter, Searles71_HSKR, for more details. I'll be tweeting them out later this week. You a golfer, Danny?
Yeah, you know, I try to get out there as much as I can. I got out a lot more like in high school and middle school, although it was kind of hard toward the end of high school because the costs start adding up, you know? It's not cheap to play around a golf.
It is not.
Yeah.
It's fun, though. I'm terrible. I like to go out because it's fun, but I'm absolutely awful. I spend more time chasing my ball around than I'd like to admit.
Yep.
But and then you always go out with your buddies that are golfers, right? Mm-hmm. So then about like hole six, you start getting the advice from everyone. Like, right. Oh, turn your wrist like this, turn your hand like that. And before you know it, you're not even playing golf anymore. You're just missing the ball completely.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't hurt you. You got to have a few beers on the course.
Exactly.
I mean, that's par for the course. But I think the best I've ever done keeping score was like 112.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm horrible. I'm absolutely awful. So you have to be better than me.
Okay, yeah, I think I could maybe top 112 on a pretty decent day. I think I could. But yeah, no, that's just the absolute worst. When you know you're doing bad and then your buddies try to like tell you what to do better, like that's not going to help you now. The only way you get better is throughout the long run, and that's not what you want to hear right at that moment.
But, absolutely not. Yeah. All right, Danny, you got some hot takes for us?
Yeah, so, well, Schmitty wanted me to go over our Friday forecast that we had. Be honest, I had a rough weekend. I thought it looked good. It was a good display. I thought I was going to do pretty well. Starting off with that Ohio State game, they did win on that game winning three. I don't know if you saw it. They were battling with Indiana the whole night.
Yep.
Indiana senior night, I believe, and it was at it was in Bloomington, and the spread was 2.5. Ohio State hits that three to go up by two, and they win by two. So that was a devastating loss right there. So I was happy myself because I did take Ohio State money line in another area besides the show. So I was okay with that. Had a pretty good night Friday night. Saturday.
So are you like one of those guys that has just TVs like everywhere? Like, are you going to be like the guy on March Madness that locks yourself in a room? You got like nine TVs set up all over the place and you're just watching furiously?
Oh, yeah. So I got like the main TV going and then you got to get stuff on the laptop going too.
Okay.
Yeah. And because like, you know, ESPN's got all like the random games going on. And so I try to like get multiple tabs open to that. So and it's like it doesn't help. I always, of course, I think because I'm watching, it's going to help, you know, it just stresses me out.
Oh, absolutely.
It makes it so much worse. But yeah, I don't know. So it was a rough Saturday for our Friday forecast. Yeah, Schmitty did well. I think he only lost the Maryland-Michigan game. I think we both took Maryland, and yeah, Michigan just pounded them at home, and that was an embarrassing game.
That was right a statement
there.
Win for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, that was. And I wasn't even that confident in Michigan because they haven't been playing that good on the road. They've been doing really well at home, naturally so, and they're a good shooting team, and they showed out. So that makes me a little bit nervous, too, if we're going to have to see them in the tournament on a neutral court. But I don't know. So, and then Kansas, Texas Tech. Kansas showed out for that game, too. I thought Texas Tech was going to do it to them since they beat them earlier, and it was at home. That didn't work out. Trying to think. Oh, then Creighton Villanova, that game, that pissed me off. I'm going to be honest. Just because I don't really care that much for people who are like Creighton fans. I really didn't have a problem with her. Never did. Never really will. I don't know. There's just like some guys who I know are just like very avid about it though on social media and stuff. And like, and then you know, like, oh, because they beat Villanova. That's when it's like, okay, now it's really a big deal. And like, they're going to make the tournament now because of that.
Yep.
And I still don't really think they're that great of a team. I mean, it's hard for me to say that because they just beat Villanova and you can't really argue it, but still, I feel confident that the Huskers could take them at PBA.
I think the Huskers could take just about anyone at PBA.
Yeah.
I mean, that place is electric. I didn't get a chance to go to the Penn State game. I had an opportunity to go, but I was still the walking wounded from Saturday, so I didn't get a chance to go. But, man, that is a special arena. Have you gone out there a couple times this year?
Yeah, I've called a couple of games out there, and I went to the Michigan game, which was awesome.
Oh,
that's,
sure,
like, the most packed I've ever seen it in there. And we were, like, all the way at the top level because I like going to the games. I don't like standing in the student section, though. I like to plop my butt down and just watch the game and not have to stand the whole
time. I think that was another deterrent for me. I mean, the no-sit Sunday thing is awesome, but I'm a big sit-down guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like to sit down. Like, we were at the Super Bowl, and people would stand up, sit down. Mm-hmm. It was awful. But, yeah, I mean, that place is absolutely electric. It's a ton of fun. And I think, like you said, we can beat anyone there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just going to continue that going forward. So this coming, the tournament weekend here, is this like your favorite time of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is where you can sit down, like you said, have all those screens open, and like, I'm just going to be working all those games, just like getting ready to like, which one am I going to bet on? Who am I looking at? Just like thinking of so many possible scenarios. Also, like, to keep in your mind for the tournament too, because this really shows you what teams are looking hot going into it. So
I see you as like the Rain Man guy, where you got like everything up along the board, and you're just that's waiting. Right. You're just waiting to see which Y is gonna go where.
Absolutely. Are you a big March Madness guy? You follow along with it pretty diehard.
I'm not a diehard. I mean, I like to watch the games. Okay. I think that it's kind of like NBA basketball playoffs for me. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the competition level. I enjoy watching the madness of it. And it's like you said, it's something to where, I mean, for me personally, once like college basketball is done, it's a long haul until there's another sport that I'm really like care about. So I'm not a big baseball guy. I wasn't born raised on it. I didn't watch a ton of it. My dad, we go to Rockies games when we were younger, but by like the sixth inning, we're both looking at our watches getting ready to leave. But I mean, for me, it's just, I really enjoy what is the tournament, because it is crazy. Right. It's absolutely insane. And to watch the upsets and to be able to channel hop, like you said, and of course everyone has their bracket filled out, and you get to see my favorites, the videos that get posted of the people just losing their minds over their brackets. And how I'm going to picture you. I'm going to picture you locked into a little basement, eating a hot dog and just freaking out over games that you got money on.
That's the thing. Like, and it's so much more amplified with that. And like, cause I do that with like random games that don't even matter for anyone. It's going to be that much worse for the tournament too. So,
I actually had a decent bracket going last year, just kind of a random bracket that was out there in our friend group. Had a great one going and got beat in the last game, and I was I can see how this can really just absolutely heartbreak.
Yeah, and it's like sometimes, you know, the less you know, the better, honestly, for
Half the people that win are like, I remember like my mom a few years back picked out like her favorite color from the mascots.
Mm-hmm. That's what my grandma does too, yeah.
And so it's just like there's no telling as far as like who's going to win. But that's what makes it exciting.
Right.
I don't know. There's lots of football coming up here that I'm super excited about for the spring game, too.
Yeah.
So, but I think here in the last segment, me and you are going to have to get into a little discussion here as far as Fortnite, PUBG, Xbox, PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of gamers out there looking at me like, dude, come on, we got to figure this out. But we're going to discuss a little bit there at the end, a little fun for the show. Hail Varsity Radio coming at you here for the last 5 minutes coming up.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Hello. Thank you for winding down hour two with us. Jeremiah Searles here filling in for Chris Schmidt here as we finish up our Monday show. Danny's with me as we're going to ride this one out. We're going to talk video games. My wife is going to absolutely despise this segment, but that is all right. For any of you wives listening out there, I am sorry. But Danny, Xbox, PlayStation.
So we hinted on it earlier. I'm ride or die Xbox my whole life.
For me, I know I've always been an Xbox guy, so it's kind of like the Coke versus Pepsi, like what were you raised on?
Yeah.
I'll just never play another PlayStation. I don't think I'll ever play PlayStation again.
The only PlayStation I ever did was like the PSP, you know, the one you could have in your hand, the portable one.
See, I do that with Nintendo.
Okay,
I have the Nintendo Switch, which is awesome. We used to all play that. The O-line all got them, and we'd play it on the plane.
That's
so
awesome.
So we just play it back and forth, and I am the reigning champ in my house that we played until 3:30 this morning, or Sunday morning, I guess. I was the reigning champ, so that is a great game to play.
Oh, yeah.
For like a party favor, that's a really fun one. What other games do you like getting into? Are you a sports game guy, shooter game? Where you at?
Yeah, I'm a big NBA 2K guy, and I always pride myself in this one little stat. Like, I think it was NBA 2K8 or no, NBA 2K9. I would play with the Rockets, Yao Ming, Tracy McGrady in their prime years. I got ranked 140th in the world for that. And
is that your claim to fame?
Yes, and I still bring it up like 10 years later. And people
absolutely.
Who cares? Like, I was like, I'm still going to say it. Like,
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 made gaming for me.
Really?
I logged over 36 days of playtime on that game.
That's remarkable.
And my wife is still with me to this day. And that was in college. That was in college, mind you. So she is an absolute trooper. Halo. Halo's always a great one.
Okay, I never got into Halo. See, I would just stick to Call of Duty.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Halo 3 was like the high school game where everyone brought the like all the stations over to the house and plugged
That's
it in,
true,
like
yeah.
pre Xbox Live days.
Right.
That was when you knew it was really, you had 9 TVs set up all throughout the house. That's when it was really fun. But the big argument I hear all the time, Fortnite, PUBG. I'm team Fortnite,
yeah.
Mostly kind of like the Xbox thing. It was A, free, and B, I jumped on that one first. Mm-hmm. So have you dabbled in the PUBG world? Like, what's the PUBG versus Fortnite thing going?
So my roommate plays PUBG, and he's like, he was Fortnite originally, like I feel like most people were, and then you like progress to PUBG is what I kind of got the feel for. But no, I'm strictly Fortnite as well. Got to stick to the free game. I don't know, I guess like the deal with PUBG, I think, is like it's realistic, so it's like real people, and you get a car. That's a big thing.
Oh, vehicles.
Yeah.
Okay.
The map's a lot bigger too, and I don't know if they said it's either more or less strategic. I forget which one it was, but that's like another big part in why.
Can you build in it?
Better.
Like, can you build forts like in Fortnite?
Don't
see. I think that's what makes Fortnite so good is it brings another type of skill set into the game where it's not just about how well can you first person, third person shoot. Right. Like when things start going bad, how well can you build and get yourself out of it?
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah. So you said you got one solo win.
I have one single solo win, and my wife was disgusted with me when I won because I stood up and I pounded my chest and I screamed, "Let's go!" And she just looked at me and she was like, "What? How can this be that important to you?"
It is.
And it really is. It's such a rush.
I've gotten second like three times, and I'm just like lose my mind because I'd like get there and just like I kill like one guy, and then the guy comes behind me and like shot me. That's happened twice. And then I just get screwed. But yeah, it's like just the ultimate, like, right there in front of you.
It is invigorating, man. Yeah. Well, I'm all hyped up now, so I'm going to have to head home and play some Fortnite. The wife and I are going to run and get some groceries and cooking. So thanks for hanging out with me on the show today, man, and finish this up. This was a great time. And then I will be back in studio all week this week with Chris Schmidt. And we're excited to spend some time with you. And find us here tomorrow on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.